Well, it is a blessing to see all of our kids. All right, if kids screaming and playing kind of bothers you, I'm sorry, but get used to it and enjoy it. I've said this before, if there ain't no crying, the church is dying. And we are truly blessed in this church. And what we're going to do today, I ask you if you could turn your Bibles to the book of James. And we're going to continue in this series where we are digging into this letter that was written by James, the half-brother of Jesus, nearly 2,000 years ago as he was writing to Christians who were being oppressed, persecuted, and he was encouraging them to remain faithful, obedient, and to allow their faith to carry them through. And he had some very, very clear commands and I guess you could call them orders to the church. And what we're going to see is that this letter written 2,000 years ago, if we lean into it, if we apply it today, it still has just as much life application and truth to it in our lives. And this is our one-sentence overview, as I've read every week, and I'm sorry if you don't like it or you want to get it out of the way. Our one-sentence overview is this. In the book of James, we find life applications that can change the trajectory of our lives. So applying what the Word of God says here in this book, applying it to your life here, applying it on a daily basis, a weekly basis, pressing into the very presence and the promises of God and who He is, you will see that your life can change now. Let me just ask, did anybody have someone confront you on being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger the last week? We had a few people. So didn't that kind of change that right there? You may have blown off on somebody and instead you reeled it back in. But this word is rich with life applications, and what we're trying to do is to obey the very words of God and follow His command. And I want to go ahead and start right into the text, and it's found in James chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And this is what the Bible says. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And in verse 2 says, for if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing, and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And that is the text I want to just kind of break down and discuss. I wanted to go ahead and say this to start things. You all should know by now that I'm not one to stand behind the pulpit and pamper you and pat you on the back and tickle your ears by telling you you're doing a wonderful job. Can I go ahead and say that? I'm not going to do that, and if I ever fall to that, shame on me. All right, because what will happen is if I stand up here and just pat you on the back and just tell you to keep doing what you're doing, everything's great, you know, you're pushing through, then what happens is the lifestyle that you may be living may be veering farther and further away from the Word and the will of God. So if I continue to tell you just keep doing what you're doing, I'm ultimately just pushing you further and further away from what God has designed for you and what God expects from us. But what I expect to happen each and every week as I pray before I come into this place, that I will preach the Word of God, I will preach the gospel of Jesus with boldness, clarity, and accuracy. That's the goal. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes it may hurt to hear what the preacher, it doesn't have to be me, anyone who is speaking, it doesn't have to be me or even someone in the church, whoever you listen to, sometimes you are going to listen to a message and it just slaps you in the face. Let's be honest, some of you may have been here last week and you were not slow to speak and you were very quick to anger, and it made you feel horrible about yourself sometimes because you remember all of the moments in which you were slow to hear and you were quick to anger and you saw the devastation that took place in someone's heart and in their life. So what I'm going to tell you is that every week as I come in here, I'm not preaching so that you can be impressed or that so you can be tickled by it and so that you can keep coming back like, I have to hear him, I have to hear him, I want him. No, that's not it at all. Whenever I get up on this platform behind this pulpit, it is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with boldness, clarity, and accuracy. Nothing less and nothing more. That's it. So, with that said, as you all know, I'm not one to just pat us on the back and pamper us around. I do want to go ahead and start by saying something that I believe we do very, very well at Pleasant Hill. You know, maybe there aren't many things that we do well, but there's at least this one thing that I've come to find over the last 2 years of being here. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, I don't think that we would have people driving out 185 5 miles, passing every city or every church in the city to get here and be a part of this body and commit themselves and their talents and their abilities to joining our body to advance the gospel of Jesus in our community if they didn't think we were doing something or some things right. Let's just face it. You could go anywhere you wanted, but you've come here. You've joined this church. You've put your talents, your abilities in this body as our mission is to not just build a big church. The mission is not to have the biggest church in Potosi, but our mission is to reach the hearts and the souls of the people in our city. And here you are. And one thing that I've come to find that we do very, very well here at Pleasant Hill is I believe on a Sunday morning you are not going to find partiality here. Can I just go ahead and say that? I believe that when people walk through these doors, they feel warm, they feel welcomed, they feel loved. You're going to walk through and you're going to have someone handshake you, or, you know, shake your hand, high five you, hug you. I think that this is something that's very, very special when people walk in here, as you are greeted with love, as people are truly concerned about you. And one of the greatest things is that it doesn't matter who you are, what your last name is, what your political party is, what your financial status is, what your, you know, social status is in the community. It doesn't matter what people say about you, what your reputation is, what your past looks like. Whoever walks through these doors are going to be welcomed, are going to be loved, and are going to be taken care of. And that's one thing that I think we could really hold high, and something I'm so satisfied in, and I pride our church on the fact that we are a church body who welcomes all people, and we understand that those people, some of them maybe more than others, really need to be in here. And they really need the gospel of Jesus to wreck their heart and change their lives forever. We understand that. And I have to tell you, as a church, I believe we are doing an exceptionally good job, at that. You know, some people could come here, not like the music, go home and gripe about the music. Some people could come here and they could gripe about the preaching and they could not like the preaching, and those things, that's possible. They could do that. But one thing that they cannot do whenever they leave this place is say that they were not welcomed and that they did not feel as if we were truly concerned for their soul. So I want to kind of applaud you all, because since we have been here, and I'm sure much further back into history, that has been a very common theme of a very warm, welcoming, loving church. But with that said, can I just say that it is easy to get caught up in that. It is easy for you to not be living for Christ, because as we are here gathered in this service, there are people who have been following Jesus longer than I've been alive. There are people who have been following Jesus for a few months, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few couple of years. But the reality is that there is a possibility of some people in this place who have not surrendered their hearts to Christ. And what I want to do today, as we are all here, as we're all warm and welcome, is I want to take this teaching on, or this topic of partiality, and make it more of an individual thing, because it is easy to get caught up in the atmosphere of warm, welcoming Pleasant Hill. You could not live for Christ Monday through Saturday, but put a big smile on, get a hug or two, and just immediately start loving on everyone. That's easy to get caught up in. I don't want to really address on a Sunday morning, because I believe we're doing very well at it. I want us to think about this topic of partiality, which could be translated to favoritism or discrimination. And I want to take it more individually and ask you, just right off the bat, if you live with the same character Monday through Saturday that you do on Monday or on Sunday morning. When it comes to showing partiality, when it comes to discriminating against people, when it comes to playing favoritism with people. Sunday morning, people of all social statuses, financial statuses come in and they sit by one another, and here we are worshiping our God. But the question is, do we live with the same character and portray the same persona Monday through Saturday in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our school districts, as we do on Sunday morning? And I believe that if we are not doing that, then we have truly been living in sin, as James would say, and we have broken the law. And I don't know if you've ever been on the bad receiving end of partiality, but what I've come to realize is that if you and I are on the bad receiving end, I don't know about you, but I personally have felt dead on the inside as people have shown partiality against me or towards someone else. And what I want to do today is I want to break down an acronym over the next few minutes, and it is a word that's spelled into the word dead. Dead. It's encouraging, isn't it? You're all dead. All dead. No, but we've all felt dead at one point or another, let's just be honest. We've all felt broken on the inside because someone didn't do this for us, or someone said this about us, or someone judged me, or someone cast condemnation towards me. And whenever you and I, look at what James says in here. If you go back to verses 6 through 8, you see, but you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich and the ones who oppress you, the one who drag you into court, and not the ones who blaspheme? And if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. We have all at times been on the bad end of someone not obeying the very command of Christ to love their neighbor as ourselves. And what I want us to do today is I want us to take the acronym DEAD. And I want us to find how you and I will live against that very command. And how you and I, if we are not careful, we will be living in partiality. Now, who we're talking to here is James is talking. He says, my brothers. Let me just go ahead and clarify that term. Whenever you see brothers in the scriptures, most scholars and theologians believe and have great confidence in the fact that he is speaking to the church people. He is speaking to the Christian folks. And your neighbor, go ahead and look around, look around. That's your neighbor. Not just the one that lives next to you. I'm not just, you know, obeying the command to love my neighbor as the people who live across the road or who live down the street from me. But these are your neighbor. Now, who's going to lunch after church? Everybody, probably. What I want you to do is you walk through there, instead of turning your head and running away from certain groups of people, I want you to just kind of examine the room, scan the room, and I want you to know that those people are your neighbors. Those are your neighbors. When you go to Walmart tonight, Save-A-Lot, Aldi, or you drive to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, wherever you do your grocery shopping, as you're pushing the cart along, I want you to just examine what kinds of people are there. If you want to have better looking people or greater variety, go to Walmart. All right? Go to Walmart. Those people are your neighbor. They are your neighbor. They are my neighbor. and I am commanded. This isn't a suggestion to love my neighbor. Jesus doesn't say, hey, if you're feeling like it, or if they are like you, or if they have similar interests to you, go. He says, love your neighbor. The people you sit next to now are your neighbor. The people you sit across the dining hall at the restaurant are your neighbor. The people who are in the same aisle as you at Walmart are your neighbor. Those are your neighbors. Get to loving them. But he's saying to the brothers, now let's just go ahead and say, if you are not a Christian and you're here, well, we're glad you're here, first of all, so you can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that can save your soul. But if you're not a Christian, let me just go ahead and say this. It may sound a little weird, but you're not held accountable to the command that was given to the church. The goal is that you will respond to the grace of God, and you will come into relationship with Him, and then you will be held accountable to the command to love your neighbor as yourself. So as we have that text, that partiality doesn't really come, and you know, in our world, we're just going to go ahead and go right into the first D, and the first D is discrimination. And some of you have lived through generations that there was a great amount of discrimination based off a skin color, based off a political party. I mean, look at the news today. It's crazy how people discriminate against one another because of their upbringing, because of things that are out of their control. And that is something that we can fall short to, is to discriminate against people. And as we discriminate, we are just simply breaking the law and the command to love others as ourselves, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if you've ever been on the receiving end of discrimination, it leaves you feeling dead inside, as if no one values you, and there you are, all in yourself. And what we are doing is, if we are showing partiality, and if we are living in this sin by showing favoritism, by you know, going to the ones who have similar external appearances as we do, then we are killing people's hearts, and we are destroying dreams, and ultimately leaving people feeling alone, dead, depressed. And there we are, just simply not obeying the command. And as a nation, we have seen great uproar in racial discrimination. And even today, it is evident. And let me just go ahead and say, this isn't a skin color issue. It may appear to be, or it may be talked to be, but it is simply a heart condition of not loving one's neighbor as ourselves. That's what it is. It's a Jesus issue that we do not obey the very command and the words of Jesus. It may appear to be a racial issue, but it really digs deeper into our very hearts and souls, as we are not living with the gospel of Jesus changing us from the inside out. So discrimination. All of us have probably been guilty of it, and we've all probably been on the receiving end of it of one time or another. We can discriminate, as we find in the story, between the rich and the poor. We can discriminate against social statuses or last names in the community, but there is a very, very big issue with discrimination. And when it comes to living for Christ, and when it comes to giving ourselves to Him, obeying His command, we must eliminate any form of discrimination from our hearts if we are to truly obey the command to follow Him and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So the command again is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The D that I want to discuss for a few minutes here is exaltation. Did you know that if you do not love your neighbor as yourself, you are simply exalting yourself above your neighbor? Because some of us, we are guilty of believing that we are more important than someone else. And what I discussed, and it was mentioned in Sunday school a little bit this morning, is some of us, if we are not careful, we will picture the cross of Christ and how He hung there, and we will think that He shed more blood for me than He did for someone else. And let me just tell you, the same blood shed for you is the same blood shed for the people who disagree with you, who do not believe with you. It's the same blood shed. And if we were to simply disobey the command, we would exalt ourselves above our neighbor, and then we would break the law. We would show partiality because we would believe that we are bigger, we are better, we own more, we drive bigger, we own better. And there we are just constantly exalting ourselves above our neighbor. And if you've ever been on this receiving end of exaltation, if you've ever been talked down upon because of what you don't own, or what you don't wear, or what you don't drive, it will leave you feeling dead on the inside. Depressed, constantly envying what people have rather than what you already have in Christ. And exaltation is something that if we are not careful of, it will ruin relationships. It will push away people. And here's the thing. If you and I are living in this spirit or in the sin of partiality, you will find instead of others being attracted to you, you will constantly push people away. And one day in your life, you may be old, retired, and sitting on the front porch, but you will be all alone. And if we were to, I believe, live with a spirit of hospitality, understanding that we are called to love all people, if we would live with a spirit of hospitality rather than in the sin of partiality, you would see such a different life, not just in your relationships, in your marriages, in your families, in your friends, but all over this city. And as you spell the word dead, you get to the word, or the letter A. And this is the term that I believe fits people who live in partiality, showing favoritism, and people who are casting judgment upon others. Asinine. The word is asinine. No, I did not just cuss in church. All right, so just get that out of your brain. But the term asinine is defined as this: utterly stupid or foolish. Did you know that? Utterly stupid or foolish. I have been called similar to that word, but a few letters were changed over the course of my lifetime. But that is how that term is defined, utterly stupid or foolish. And I love the word foolish because as we discussed a couple weeks ago in Sunday school, and if you're missing out on Sunday school, you're missing out on a great discussion and digging into the Bible. But what we were talking about was foolishness. And here's the difference between ignorance and foolishness. Ignorance is, if you've ever been called ignorant, it's not really that bad of an insult, or unless the people are so ignorant that they don't know the true definition of ignorance. Then it is on them. But ignorance just means you simply don't know. So if I'm ignorant to the fact of someone doing something with their life, I'm just ignorant. But if I am foolish, I know better and I do the opposite. So if I live showing partiality and favoritism to people because of their skin color, external appearances, money, their income, their, you know, tax bracket or what they drive, then all I'm doing is I'm living in this mindset of utterly stupid and foolish because I know the command to love my neighbor as myself. And since I know it, I just choose not to do it. So you could simply just call me a fool. I know better. I know what the word says. I know what the command says to love my neighbor, no matter who they are, what they've done, what they look like, what they were brought up as, what their last name is. I'm to love them. And you and I are fools if we know that command and we choose to do the opposite. We are just living in foolishness because we know better. And the last D, as you find in the text, is we just simply dishonor people and we dishonor God. So we discriminate, we exalt, we live in a mindset of asinine, and we dishonor. And what you have to understand is that as you choose to disobey the command to love your neighbor as yourself, you are dishonoring the poor man. Do you know who the poor man may be? Or do you know who the neighbor may be? The neighbor may be a family member, maybe a friend, but here is who every neighbor is. Whether you like it or not, they are a loved child of God. They are His creation. And if we choose to disobey the command, we are dishonoring them. We are dishonoring God as well. We are disobeying. And there we are with all four characteristics of partiality and favoritism, leaving people dead on the inside, leaving people depressed, wondering why, maybe even questioning their very existence. And we wonder why people can't get along anymore. I mean, could you imagine a city if we were to eliminate this term of partiality and simply obey the command that Jesus has given? Could you imagine? There are like 20 churches in the city of Potosi. And did you know that if there is 100 on average to every church, that's over 2,000 people? That's the entire city. But as you walk around, as you see on Facebook, as you see on the news, we live in a culture, society that is the exact opposite of this command to love our neighbor as yourself, as ourselves. Could you imagine what this city would look like if you were, instead of turning your head and talking about, you would turn to and talk to them? Could you imagine what our city, what our school districts would look like, and what this community would be like if we were to simply obey the command to love our neighbor as ourselves? I mean, one of my goals has always been, as we've been here at Pleasant Hill, is to be a part of, and us as a church, not just me, like our church, be a part of changing the very pulse of Potosi. Because the pulse of Potosi that I desire is to see kids being hugged even when they have no family at home doing it. What my desire is for the pulse of Potosi is to see people going out of their way, sacrificing their own comfort, maybe their own resources, and simply loving their neighbor as themselves. What I desire as a pulse of Potosi is to see people understanding this command. So how do we get there? How do we get there? Well, we find it in verse 1. It says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." There's a pastor who's worldly known and I listen to often. His name is Francis Chan, and he breaks this particular verse up like this. Understanding that we serve the Lord of glory, as we are exalting Him in His heavenly place and in His righteous place, we understand that there are two things in this life. There is God and there is man. Now, what we like to do is we like to break down the category of man based off what we drive, what we own, who we are, what our name is, what our power is, what our wealth is. But you have to understand, and I have to understand, and we all must live in this truth that there is just simply two categories. There is God and there is man. And if you are putting yourself up or down in that category, the Bible says that you have become a judge with evil thoughts. So we first have to understand where we are. We are all on the same playing field here. I'm sorry, but if you think you are better than someone, you are right down on the same playing field as everyone else. God isn't going to call in, you know, the people who think they're better first and judge them and grant them greater gifts than heaven, as He is the poor who are just simply relying on the simple and the sole provision of God in their lives. We are all on the same playing field. There is God and there is man. And shall we never consider ourselves higher than or push down or cast judgment on someone else? And the way we get to it is also found in the very last two verses. In verse 12 it says, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. And this is where we have to get to if we were to simply live with no partiality. If we were to truly obey the command to love our neighbor as ourselves, we would get to this part. It says, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty." This is what we have to understand. You and I will all stand and be judged one day. Did you know that? You will be judged for everything you do and say on this planet. And if you do not accept the grace of God in the form of Jesus Christ and His reconciliation of offering Himself for us, then we will be judged and condemned. If we respond to His grace and accept this beautiful offering and receive this gift of Himself who poured Himself out, then we will be judged and we will be welcomed into His presence forever and ever and live in His glorious riches. But you and I will be judged. And what we have to understand is that we will never sit on the judgment seat. Never. It is His throne. It is His judgment seat. And we are the ones to be judged. So the people that you talk about, they are to be judged. The people that you disagree with, they are to be judged. The people who don't own what you own or have what you have, they are also to be judged. So here's a challenge. Here's a challenge. What if we were to live with this spirit of hospitality? What if we were also to remember that if we were only concerned with living our lives with and building a church with the people that we like, we would completely miss out on the blessing of extending mercy to the ones that we have been called to love. If we only focus on the ones that are similar to us and have the same desires as us, you know, who work the same jobs as us and kind of agree with some of our agreements and some of our beliefs, then we will only live life with the ones that we like, and we will completely miss out on this beautiful opportunity of extending mercy to those who we have been called to love. And this is the challenge. This is what I want to challenge you with, and then I'll shut up. The neighbor, you know, the neighbors that you were probably thinking of as you felt condemned for showing partiality to, those neighbors, the ones I have running through my head, those in-laws, I mean neighbors, those people, what if you were to change your look of them and to view them as they were to also stand before God and receive judgment? What if you could challenge yourself and twist your perspective of them and maybe challenge yourself to go and to prepare them for that very moment? We are to be in this thing together on this earth, preparing one another for the very moment that we are judged, wrapping our arms around people, pointing them to the goodness of Jesus. Or what if we were to simply obey the command to love our neighbor as ourself, showing no discrimination, having no exaltation of self? And what if we were to, instead of dishonoring people and dishonoring God, we were to honor Him by obeying His command and taking that command to people, because mercy triumphs over judgment. And that is found 2,000 years ago as God sent His Son, as He poured out His mercy and His grace towards you and I. Instead of casting us away in judgment, He said, no, I'm going to choose and extend mercy to people who are rich, to people who are poor and sick in spirit. And if He can do that to us, why can't we do it to the people we live with? Why can't we do it to the people who live down the street, the people we work with? If God can choose mercy over judgment, then it is also our following to do the same. To simply obey the command to love one's neighbor as ourselves. Let's pray.